James from StrawPunk.com.
And this is his co-host, Mike. How are you doing this week, man?
Not too bad. I had a good day today, finally.
Oh, really?
I really kind of come alive when it's nice and warm and hot outside. And
I love the cold. He loves the heat.
I can't stand, like, I basically try to hibernate all winter long. And then come summer, springtime, I hate being inside. Maybe we should take this show on the road and do some, like, mobile hiking podcasting, guerrilla style.
Yeah, once again, you come up with a very visual idea for an audio show.
Yes. I got to make myself happy here.
All we could do is stomp around in my front yard and pretend to be hiking.
Yeah. I had a good day's, well, supposed to meet my friend Gabriel to go do some hiking down the street from where he works and where I CrossFit at this little park right off of White Bridge Road. Like, literally right off of White Bridge Road. Like,
are you talking about the Greenbelt?
Yeah. Yeah, nice place. I was thinking about inviting you and your wife there because there's some geocaches there.
I've always wanted to walk that one. I've just never had the opportunity.
We should do that.
Oh, definitely.
And like I said, there's geocaches there, and there's
there are
historic places hidden down there from there was a great train crash down there, and they
really?
Yeah. Really, really neat place.
I didn't even know about this stuff. Have you ever? Well, of course you haven't. You're not from West Nashville.
So, yeah, I am. Definitely want to check it out. So, he shows up 40 minutes after we were supposed to be there. I'd started doing some sprinting.
Drinking a 40, munching on Teddy Grahams.
Yeah, I was... I did some running before we got there, and then we hiked and like looked at the water and checked out some graffiti. There's some really good graffiti down there.
Oh, and, God. Only you would go hiking for the graffiti.
Right. And then there's a underwater shopping basket that was kind of neat. Like,
what do you mean an underwater shopping basket?
Well, there's strings running all through that, and there's turtles everywhere. And there's a part of the stream where you could see, like, there's a shopping cart that's laid sideways, but it's buried up to about 2 inches left sticking out.
On purpose?
Well, I mean, I guess just the silt and the gravels have buried it, and it's like, that's how much is left. So, you know, it's, what, shopping cart's about 2 feet wide?
About.
Yeah, so that's, you know.
Depending on which end you're pushing.
Right. So only like an inch or so was sticking up, inch or two.
My God.
So it was neat. It was pretty. I took some pictures. And then after doing that, about an hour or so of hiking, maybe 2 hours, 10:40, 11:40. Yeah. So maybe an hour or so of like hiking and running. I then went to CrossFit.
I hate you. You're telling me about what you do during the day makes my ass tired.
Oh. And crappily enough.
Oh my God, this is going to be good.
I popped awake at about 3:30 this morning.
Of course you did.
And I tossed and I turned and I'm like, I'll fall back asleep.
You see, this is what I was talking about last episode, how humans are not designed to sleep 8 hours in a row like that.
Well, I want to stay asleep, but which is weird because I want to say that, not the day before, maybe the day, like 2 days before that, maybe it was the day before. I slept 10 hours and felt great. I went to bed at 10:30. I woke up at 10:30.
Yeah, that's 12 hours.
12 hours, yeah.
Hey, sometimes you just need to, dude.
Yeah, sometimes you do. Yeah, 12 hours. Wow. Yeah.
It's almost impossible to wake up and not be rested after.
Yeah, I woke up and felt like $1 million. I was like, I need to go fight a bear. So.
Now, when I sleep for a good 12 hours, which doesn't happen very often, but when it does, I expect to wake up and hear flutes playing.
Yes. So I tossed and turned to about 4 a.m. and then I was like, well, this isn't going to work. I just got to get up and make coffee at this point. And then, so by the time that I went to CrossFit, I had downed several glasses or cups of coffee and a few energy drinks.
Oh my God.
And I'd eaten several times. So, I performed fairly well in the workout.
That's good.
Well, it's neat because they've been breaking up with like a dual part workout. So there's like
dual part.
Yeah, it begins with a little like skill training. Well, there's warm up. You do the warm up, and then you do like skill training. Like you do a little work on like a technique or something.
Now, haven't you said you've seen people fall out from the warm up?
The warm up's pretty tough sometimes.
That's funny.
Yeah, I mean we've done like 400 meter sprints and then some other stuff for warm up. Today we did, I think, 400 meter sprint.
Have you ever seen like a newbie fucking just quit after the warm up? Then they go in and then they're doing the warm up and then they're like, all right, that was a good warm up. And they're like, warm up?
Yeah.
And then they just leave and go eat a Snickers bar.
Gabriel went through one workout and then promptly quit and never showed back up.
Of course he did.
So yeah, the workout was split to like, you know, we did some strength training plus and then we worked on bench press. I got 4 max effort bench presses.
Sweet.
Pretty sweet. We worked on the jerk. I still suck on the clean jerk.
Dude. Oh, I love the jerk. It's one of my favorite movies.
And then the workout was 200 meter sprint and then pull ups, and I was kind of knackered.
After all that, you were finally kind of knackered.
Well, actually, no. And I was wearing my Vibram 5 fingers to go hiking and running in and work CrossFit. The toe shoes.
Oh God, I hate those shoes.
Yeah. Actually, after like a rest there and drinking another energy drink and a protein shake. I felt great. Like, I was on the way home. I was like, I can do anything. And then, like, I kind of just took a nap.
You think?
Yeah. Yeah.
After what? You totally exhausting your body with, like, 2 days worth of crap packed into, like, 6 hours?
Yeah.
And God only knows how much caffeine keeping your butt awake. And then just, yeah, everything wore off simultaneously. You're lucky you didn't slip into a coma.
I know. But all in all, a good morning. And I do... I really love the heat and plan on doing a lot of fun stuff this summer.
You should have moved to the Philippines with my dad. You love the heat so much.
Well, except for some of their gun laws and stuff. Yeah, it'd be neat there.
My dad's wife starts shivering when it hits like 85.
Oh.
They're just so used to being there.
So how's your week going before we move on?
Well, my week has gone, well, since how it's Monday, it hasn't happened, not a lot's happened. But my week since our last episode, it's been...
profitable?
Yeah, profitable, actually. Yeah, they've started this bonus incentive thing at my workplace. Basically, where I work, you're supposed to produce 80 units. Anything you produce over 80...
Widgets. We call those widgets.
If you say so. Anything over 80 units, I get paid $5 a unit.
Right.
And currently, and I still got 2 more days to add on to this...
To make more widgets.
Exactly. And currently, I am sitting at a bonus of $265.
Nice.
They were not expecting that. They were expecting us to maybe get $100, $150 bonus.
Right.
I'm looking to double my quota, which would be $400 bonus.
Right.
Yeah. Me and the only other person in my department who's getting this bonus, we are hammering out so many units... that they are seriously thinking about increasing the quota.
Yeah, I can see them doing that.
Which I consider to be punishing us for doing a good job.
Well, they've got to calibrate it. I mean... Yeah, I understand your point, but I got to understand their point, too.
I have children.
Yeah?
That's my point.
Okay.
And I worked there for 6 years.
Maybe start a business like a podcast.
6 years and got a 70 cent an hour raise.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd love it if the podcast paid me.
Yeah.
Pay me. You're technically my employer.
I'm pretty sure you're slave labor.
And you still haven't come up with my nickname. You're the survival punk. I have nothing. I'm just Mike. And you better not start calling me slave laborer Mike.
Oh, I thought you were my chummy sidekick.
Chummy? Okay, that just sounds like if we're in a boat and sharks are around, I'm the one you throw into the water.
Yeah. All right, so what do we got coming up today, chummy?
Well, we're going to talk about how New York has gone completely psychotic with anything that even closely resembling tobacco. We're going to talk a little bit about plants and their companions. We're going to move into I don't know if this is going to be a new series or not. You haven't really told me much about it. But our main topic today is Paleo 101.
I'm going to try to smash it out in one main topic.
Don't
scream. I mean the basic premise I think I could knock out. Little points here and there, you know, you got to kind of discover on your own. Mm-hmm. And there's little things. But, yeah.
Over in Nutrition Corner, we're going to be talking about edible wild plants and Brussels sprouts. We're going to have a new gadget to talk about. And let me see, and then it'll be my favorite segment of the show after that, Mike's worst cases. So why don't we just go ahead and take it away. with our first news story this week about how New York is now banned e-cigs.
I pulled up this news. We got it on Fox News. It was the first link. I've read about this on Facebook, and I just thought it was ridiculous. So, you want to read today?
Laws in New York and Chicago making electronic cigarettes subject to the same regulations as tobacco are taking effect, and their sellers and users are steadfast in their opposition. The New York ban, along with the measure in Chicago, one that previously went into effect in Los Angeles and federal regulations proposed last week, are keeping debates smoldering amongst public health officials, the e-cigarette industry, and users. Proponents of the bans, which began Tuesday, say they are aimed at preventing the reacceptance of smoking as a societal norm, particularly among teenagers who could see the tobacco-free electronic cigarettes with their candy-like flavorings and celebrity endorsers as a gateway to cancer-causing tobacco products. Dr. Tom Farley, the New York City Health Commissioner under former Mayor Michael Bloomberg, says allowing electronic cigarettes in bars and restaurants would undermine existing bans on tobacco-based products. Imagine for a moment, you're at a bar and there are 20 people who are puffing on something that looks like a cigarette, and then somebody smells something that smells like tobacco smoke, Farley says. How's the bartender going to know who to tap on the shoulder and say, put that out? Makers of the devices say marketing them as e-cigarettes has confused lawmakers into thinking they are the same as tobacco-based cigarettes. They say the bans ostracize people who want an alternative to tobacco products and will be especially hard on ex-smokers who are being lumped into the same smoking areas as tobacco users. Their defenders also say they're a good way to quit tobacco, even though smoking science is murky on the claim. Peter Denholtz, the chief executive and co-founder of the Henley Vaporium in Manhattan, says electronic cigarettes could be the greatest invention of our lifetime in terms of saving lives by moving smokers away from traditional cigarettes. This law just discourages that, he says. Chris Jelly, a 31-year-old Brooklyn resident, also defended the devices as a vehicle for quitting. The tougher they're going to make it on vapors, the tougher it is people are going to find an actual vehicle for quitting or as a supplement to cigarettes, Jelly said from his perch at the counter at a Henley. There's no need for it. This is working so much better than patches of gum or prescription drugs. Robin Koval, chief executive of the Anti-Smoking Legacy Foundation, said that while ingredients in electronic cigarettes are not as harmful as those in tobacco products, there is still a concern because they contain highly addictive nicotine. The National Institutes of Health says that users could expose themselves to toxic levels of nicotine while refilling the devices or even use them to smoke other substances. Since little evidence exists on the effects of the devices on smoking, whether as an aid in quitting or gateway for non-smokers or a bridge to keep smokers hooked longer, she says she favors a legislative approach that balances public health with the development of safer alternatives. The right way forward will be a way that promotes innovation and helps us to do everything we possibly can get to combustible tobacco to be history. God, I'm like running out of steam on this. I'm sorry. Koval says, we want a generation of Americans where, for them, cigarettes are a thing of the past, an artifact, like a roll of film or a rotary telephone.
I got so many things on this article that just make me want to like tear stuff apart.
Oh, please, do tell.
Let me preface it by saying, I don't care for smoking. I kind of hate cigarettes. And I kind of hate e-cigarettes and the e-cigarette users just puffing away everywhere. But there's nothing in them. I mean, it's... You might as well start, like, jacking up little kids to get candy cigarettes and, like, throwing them in jail. I mean, really, there's... It has nicotine in it, yes. But there's actually a lot of strong studies that nicotine by itself, without the other toxic chemicals, all 100 and whatnot of them found in cigarettes, is actually not terribly bad for you. Nicotine by itself is in a pure chemical form is a not bad, has some good benefits, kind of like caffeine.
Believe it or not, nicotine, I've discovered, can actually work as a memory enhancer, a memory booster, if you will.
Yeah.
People who wear the patches, especially overnight while they sleep, they'll put a fresh patch on right before bed, will have very lucid and very realistic dreams. It's because those centers in their brain connected to the memory are being enhanced, and you see everything more clearly that way. So nicotine by itself actually does have
several
good qualities, several good properties. The problem is it's addictive and it's in tobacco.
Right. But I mean, I think I saw a study that wheat was 20 times more addictive than, heroin.
Wheat?
Yes.
I've never heard this.
Yeah.
Wheat.
Yes.
It's what's for dinner.
Exactly. That's what I thought. So anyway, the point is that there's no reason to ban it because it is not a harmful substance. It doesn't produce harmful vapors. Like, when they breathe out that stupid puff of smoke, it's just vaporized. There's nothing in it. The only thing harmful in that is the nicotine, which is now in their bloodstream.
Now, I have been around e-cig smokers before, and I've had the stuff blown pretty much in my direction. I mean, you can't really detect anything's there. It's mist.
Kind of like a humidifier.
Exactly. It's a humidifier.
Yeah.
I mean,
if anything, there might be trace residues of the flavoring agents.
That's pretty much it.
Maybe, yeah.
I personally thought that it's a good alternative to quitting because all the harmful things are now taken out of it. I mean, yeah, you still got the nicotine, but you don't have the tar that's standing up your lungs. You don't have any of that. You don't have the smoke that's clogging up your airways and causing more and more asthmatics to come into existence. You don't have any of that with that. I mean, yeah, you're still being fed nicotine, which means a lot of people will still be, craving those things and hooked on them.
Right, but I don't, and this is another thing. They're saying that kids may, popularize it and then see it as a gateway drug to real cigarettes. I don't think the kids of this generation are going to make that leap. They're going to want to stay with the e-cigarettes and not smoke cigarettes.
And just the phrase gateway drug has always grinded my gears, to quote Peter Griffin. Like marijuana, the ultimate gateway drug, as they say. And I used to smoke marijuana. I used to smoke it pretty regularly back in the day. And guess what it led to for me? The refrigerator. That was the only gateway that got opened with me.
Yeah.
It didn't lead me to harder stuff. If anything, once or twice, I kind of tried something else and just it's not weed.
Yeah. I mean, on a side note, I kind of like that Dennis Leary has a joke that the only thing that smoking marijuana ever led him to was building stuff, and he ran up his Home Depot card too much. He didn't stop. He had no room for birdhouses and shelves anymore.
I mean, one of my personal heroes, a man named Kevin Smith, that I'm sure you've heard of, and most of our listeners probably have too. He built an entire internet radio network and what brought podcasting into the mainstream and put it on the map, all under the influence of weed.
You know, I still get the what is a podcast question a lot.
Oh, you still get the I mean, almost every time I bring it up that, I'm co-host of a podcast. Most people say, what's a podcast?
Yeah. It's kind of the same thing with CrossFit. Either I get
what exactly is CrossFit?
I get either what is CrossFit or wow.
Yeah, we're kind of in a niche society.
And just to wrap this up, I think lastly the thing that pisses me off about this is since the e-cigs and stuff have became popular. All over town now, there's e-cig shops.
Oh, yeah, you can't. I mean,
that's like a whole, besides, the discount tobacco shops, these are extra shops. So these are all these, entrepreneurial business owners that are now making money on this industry, and they're trying to shut them down, basically.
Well, it's like the video store in the town that you live in. I saw a big banner out front when I drove by today that
they're not doing e-cigs.
No, they're not doing e-cigs on top of, being a video store and a tanning salon.
Right. Because who rents videos anymore? I mean, Redbox kind of took that market.
And what Redbox didn't kill, Netflix did.
Right.
And so did Hulu.
Right. So, I mean, good for them for finding it. But By them making laws trying to ban this and just, it's, the free market said that there's a need for this. And these gentlemen and women stepped up, that's opened what, these shops.
That's what commerce is built on.
Right.
Seeing a need and then filling that need.
Which, at any time that people like will bitch and complain that the free market doesn't work, no, it's the government is stopping the free market. We don't have a free market. We really don't.
You just, it basically all boils down to anything that the populace is going to like. Somebody out there is going to get all curmudgeonly about it and not like it and have to raise their voice about it.
And it's ridiculous.
And it's always the squeaky wheel that gets the grease.
Well, James's universe, that wouldn't be the way. So let's move on to our second article, which is about, it's from Mother Earth News.
But before we do that, it's time to... But before we move on to our second news article today, it's time for a word from JM Bullion.
You threw me for a loop. We always do the news together.
I know, but we usually do JM. We usually throw a shout out to JM Bullion before we do the news. I somehow skipped it.
All right, so JM Bullion, your home for all your online gold and silver needs. Interesting story. I work with a guy who was a JM Bullion customer.
Really?
And
completely independent of.
He found them, and then I told him to click through my link and buy from there from now on.
Well, as everybody should. Right, as all of our listeners should.
He's been buying silver for a while. So, we did a barter trade the other day, like, because I hold and keep silver partially for future economic collapse barter. We worked out a deal where he mentioned doing some trade in, like, Federal Reserve notes, and I was like, no. We're going to make this trade completely in silver, and he mostly has dimes, and he has some quarters, a little bit of dimes, a little bit of quarters, like not as many as I do.
Have you seen if there's been any updates on the whole Oklahoma thing now accepting precious metals?
I'll have to look back.
Because I'm interested in that.
Yeah. So there's that, and then he buys like big 1 pound bars and stuff, which I don't like for barter because it's hard to fractionalize big silver bars. But he's keeping silver for a different reason. He's keeping it for actual like investment and not world collapse, barter, monetary hedge. So it.
But either way you want to go on it, if you're wanting it for barter, if you're wanting it for financial investment, the place you want to go to get your silver, to get your gold, to get your precious metals is JM Bullion. Go to survivalpunk.com, click on JM Bullion's banner, and start your investment, start your bartering. Just start down a good path today.
Right. So I traded him silver rounds for a roll of dimes. He's happy about that. Anyway. We're going to talk from Mother Earth News, who they're okay sometimes. Sometimes they're a little too hippie for me. But this is a in-depth companion planting guide.
Get a haircut and go hug a tree.
A companion planting guide such as this one will show you which vegetables and flowers support or inhibit the growth of other plants and or pests they deter. Basil. Plant near most garden crops. Keep away from... rue? I don't know what rue is.
Yeah, rue. Keep away from rue.
Comments. Improve the flavor and growth of garden crops, especially tomatoes and lettuce, repels mosquitoes. I knew that if you planted your basil next to tomatoes, there's sort of a cross-pollination enhances the flavor of your tomatoes, which, you know, a lot of things that taste good together will grow good together.
Really?
Yeah, lettuce. Basil goes good with, you know, less tomatoes, so they work well. Repelling mosquitoes is a good thing there.
In other words, if I'm going to start growing a macaroni plant, I need to plant some cheese seeds right next to it.
Yes.
Okay, awesome.
Beans, bush. Plant near beets, cabbage, carrots, catnip. I thought about grass for catnip. Cauliflower. Beans? Bush beans. So bush beans, you want to plant them near beets, cabbage, carrots, catnip, cauliflower, corn. Cucumbers, lots of B's and C's. Marigolds, potatoes, savory, strawberries. Keep away from fennel, garlic, leeks, onions, shallots.
Comments.
Potatoes and marigolds repel Mexican bean beetles. Catnip repels flea beetles. So that's, you know, benefits there between the two. And garlic, leeks, onions, shallots, all those like.
I can see those affecting the flavor.
They don't grow well with a lot of things.
Really? I don't know. They're in their own.
They're such a strong, like, flavor. They tend to overpower their neighbors.
I can understand that. I mean, those are all very flavorful.
Right. Pole beans, plant near corn, marigolds, potatoes, radishes. Keep away from beets, garlic, kohlrabi, leeks, onions, shallots, comet, same as wish bean. Obviously, with the corn, you can sort of do a Indian Native American Three Sisters garden where you string the beans up your corn stalk so it has something to grow on, and then you plant squash at the base.
I don't recommend ever growing corn, though.
I don't. Obviously, we'll talk about it later.
There's too much corn in the world.
Yeah. Beets. Plant near broccoli, Brussels sprouts, we'll talk about later on. Bush beans, cabbage, cauliflower, chard, kohlrabi, onion. Keep away from charlock, field mustard, pole beans. No comments.
Interesting.
You don't take borage.
You can plant beets near bush beans, but not pole beans. Okay, borage. Plant near squash, strawberries, and tomatoes. Keep away from
nothing.
Nothing. Comments. Repels tomato worms. Impressive flavor and growth for companions. Broccoli and Brussels sprouts. Plant near beets, buckwheat, calendula, carrots, chamomile, dill, hyssop, marigolds, mints, nasturtiums, onions, rosemary, sage, thyme, wormwood. Keep away from strawberries. Comments, marigolds repel cabbage moths. Nasturtiums repel aphids. Wait a minute. I thought for a minute they put parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme all together there. No parsley, though.
Nasturtium has an interesting flavor. It tastes...
I've never even heard of it.
When I was hanging out with Jack Spirko from the Survival Podcast, he was like, hey, try pieces. He went in his garden, he like ripped off a leaf of nasturtium and was like, eat this. For the love of me, I can't remember what it tastes like. Maybe like mustard or something. Like it tastes like eating mustard.
If anybody out there has a good description of what nasturtium tastes like, drop it on our message board. Cabbage and cauliflower. Plant near broccoli, Brussels sprouts, celery, chard, spinach, tomatoes. Keep away from strawberries. You don't want to plant strawberries around anything, apparently. Comments. Tomatoes and celery repel cabbage worms. Interesting. Nice. Cantaloupe. Plant near corn. Keep away from nothing with no comments.
Interesting.
So just plant your cantaloupe near corn for some reason. Carrots, plant near cabbage, chives, early potatoes, leeks, lettuce, onions, peas, radishes, rosemary, sage, salsify, wormwood. Keep away from nothing. Comments, onions, leeks, and wormwood repel carrot flies.
An interesting thing on carrots, there's a lot of like wild variety of carrots. Never knew this because I've never seen any. The majority of them are poisonous. So especially if they're not the orange color. There's like purple carrots that are poisonous.
If I pulled up something that looked like a purple carrot, I would have never made the connection that it was a carrot. Carrot, to me, equates to orange.
Okay.
And you wouldn't see me trying to eat wild carrots anyway, or the non-wild variety.
There's no pizza trees in the wild.
I'm not a big fucking carrot fan. Oops, sorry. I'm not a big flipping carrot fan.
Chives. Plant near apples, berries, carrots, grapes, peas, roses, tomatoes. Keep away from...
Bubkis.
Nothing. Improves flavor and growth of companions. Deters aphids and Japanese beetles.
Huh.
People got problems with those Japanese beetles.
Corn. Plant near beans, cucumbers, early potatoes, melons, peas, pumpkins, soybeans, squash. You don't have to keep it away from anything. And soybeans deter cinch bugs. Cucumbers, plant near beans, cabbage, corn, early potatoes, radishes, and sunflowers. Keep away from late potatoes.
Hmm.
I'm not a really big garden expert, but what are these early and late potatoes they're speaking of?
This is when they happen to bloom. If it's early in the season or late in the season.
Oh, okay. Well, that explains that. Let's see. Dill, plant near broccoli, Brussels sprouts. Cabbage, cauliflower, cucumber. Of course, you plant
cucumber. Cucumber. Yeah.
Lettuce, onions. Keep away from carrots. Improves flavor and growth of cabbage family plants. Eggplant. You plant those near green beans, peppers, potatoes, tomatoes. You don't have to keep them away from anything. And green beans deter Colorado potato beetles. And finally, garlic. You want to plant that near cabbage, cane fruits, fruit trees, roses, tomatoes. But you want to keep it away from peas and beans. Garlic, deters Japanese beetles and aphids. Garlic oil spray deters onion flies, aphids, and ermine moths. Garlic tea helps repel late potato blight.
Right.
And they got several more pages of this.
Right, there's several more pages. If you want to check them out, I think we covered some of the... A new dill and cucumbers. I knew that one. And a new basil and tomatoes. They go perfectly together. So, just remember that when it's... normally I'd say it's a little late in the season to be, you know, getting your plantains out. But winter held on so long, it's actually probably about time to get them in the ground right now. And what do we got next, Mike?
Okay, we're going to go into a segment we're entitling Paleo 101 this week. You want to, since how you're the current expert on paleo.
Right. So, I've been, I guess, kind of doing paleo on and off for a couple years now. Tried to get you and your wife into it, let you borrow a book. Your floor ate it.
Now, as I understand it, paleo is the art form of eating dinosaurs. Is that correct?
No.
Okay.
It is. I mean, really, there's three massive, all-encompassing rolls with a little leeway.
Well, I like my dinner with rolls.
Right. It is no grains, no dairy, and no legumes.
Wait a minute. No grains? How are you making these rolls?
Rules. There's a few rules.
Oh, rules. Yes. I'm sorry. I didn't realize you couldn't speak English.
Yes.
So, no dairy, no grains, and...
No legumes.
No legumes.
Including peanuts. Green beans are sort of iffy.
A legume is basically a pod type. Right. Anything that grows in a pod.
Right. So, like I said, green beans are sort of acceptable. If you eat those, I don't ever, never, ever eat
them. They're one of my favorites, actually.
So peas would be a no-go. Beans would be a no-go.
Did you say green beans are acceptable?
Green beans are acceptable.
Why are they the acceptable legume?
Because some of the anti-nutrients and stuff aren't as bad in them as it is some of the, like the beans, like the phytic acid and, so some of the other beans are bad, lectins, and stuff. So,
I wonder if my green bean casserole is paleo. Probably not.
Yeah, you could make it. I have a recipe somewhere.
For paleo green bean casserole?
Yeah, I have paleo green
beans. Why would you have that recipe? You hate green beans.
It's in the book with the other recipes.
I figured you would have taken that page out, spit on it, and burned it.
No, I still get to it. So yeah, no grains, no dairy, no legumes. Each of the category kind of has its own issues. Dairy's the one that I kind of break that rule. There's a good case we made for some full fat dairy, heavy cream, grass fed butter.
Now, how do things like that affect somebody who's lactose intolerant?
I don't have a lot of issues anymore. I used to be, and maybe we'll get to this a little bit. I don't necessarily think that all of my problems had to do with lactose, but maybe some of all the other stuff in my diet.
Really?
So. You remember I used to not be paleo, and I was pretty gassy.
Oh, you're still pretty gassy.
Not as much all the time.
No, just not as often, but now it's 10 times worse.
No. So, I kind of found out that some of the gas was caused by excess carbs.
Excess carbs.
Are making me gassy. Yeah, when I was super low-carb, ketogenic paleo, I had no gas.
What do you mean ketogenic?
Ketogenic.
Ketogenic?
Yes. When you get down to super low carb, your body runs on ketone bodies instead of glucose.
If you say so.
Yeah. That's how I lost so much weight.
Sounds like Scientologist stuff to me.
Yeah. So, where was I at?
I'm sorry, I completely derailed you on that. You're talking about ketones. Before that, we're talking about lactose and excess carbs
so,
and gas.
Yeah, the full fat dairy. If I just eat basically just grass fed butter, I have no lactose issues whatsoever. Usually, I do a couple tablespoons, 2 tablespoons or so of heavy whipping cream in my coffee. No issues there. No gassiness. No bloated. No trips to the bathroom. So, I see a lot of benefits by adding back in the full fat dairy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't go around drinking milk. Some people can handle it.
You only drink milk when some dude sells it to you out of a Prius.
Right, the raw milk that I bought was really good. I only got it that once. I mean, it was actually fairly expensive.
Real milk's already expensive. What are you talking about fairly expensive? It was like $10 a gallon?
No, I didn't get a gallon. I got a...
oh, my God.
Half gallon.
You could only get it by the half gallon?
I could have bought a gallon, but I didn't want to use that much.
Doing some shady back alley milk deal.
Yeah. I mean, because it's illegal. But anyway, back to paleo. You got your three main rules. I would suggest for 30 days, you do like the whole 30-day challenge and get rid of all grains, dairy, and legumes. So, no bread, no oatmeal, no beans, no pasta, all grains, including corn. Corn's a grain. Most people think it's a veggie. It's not a veggie. Rice. Wheat, buckwheat, spelt, wheat germ, all of that gone. Beans, red beans, kidney beans, pinto beans, black beans.
I'm already halfway there, dude.
Yeah.
All of that gone. I don't need any of that stuff.
Yeah. You do eat wheat.
I don't eat a lot of wheat.
You ate a pizza for dinner.
I ate half a pizza, thank you.
Yeah.
That's diet.
So, get all that out of your diet for 30 days. And then, at the end of 30 days, see how you feel.
Mm.
You should go through a few weeks of feeling like utter crap, followed by feeling a lot better.
If you want to kill yourself, you know it's working.
No. So you'll feel a lot better. And at the end of 30 days, you could sort of slowly add things back in and see what you agree
with. Wait a minute. Why would you take the stuff out just to add it back in?
Well, not everything. Like, at the end of 30 days, you could see if putting some butter in your coffee or...
Butter in your coffee?
Yeah, I do that.
You put butter in your coffee?
Yeah.
Hot buttered coffee?
Yeah.
Why have I never heard about this before now?
It's actually a famous thing. It's called bulletproof coffee.
But I've never heard of this.
Yeah.
Butter in your coffee?
Yeah, I use butter and
stir it with a strip of bacon?
No. I microwave it to melt it with the MCT oil and then add the butter to it and stir it up until it's frothy.
MCT oil?
Median chain triglyceride oil. We talked about this like last week.
We did?
Or the week before.
Yeah, I don't remember MCG oil.
T. MCT.
Oh, MCT.
Medium chain triglyceride.
If you say so, dude. Is that something that's in the butter?
No, it's an oil that I add.
Oh, you add extra? You do some weird stuff to your
coffee. 2 tablespoons of MCT oil, 2 tablespoons of butter.
And if that doesn't help the medicine go down, I don't know what will.
It's tasty and good
for you. If you say so.
So, where was I at?
You can, after a month, you can start slowly adding stuff back
in. Add stuff back in. So you see how you respond to dairy. Certain parts of dairy. I would avoid, I mean, really, I can't make a case to add back in most grains. Some people if your ancestry comes from Asia, you tend to do fairly well with rice. I mean, they have the enzymes and the genetic predisposition to be able to digest it and process rice.
Yeah, well, they've been living on rice for eons.
Right. Whereas if your ancestry comes from Europe, you're probably not going to be able to add that back in to any good degree. You're probably going to still have issues.
Now, you know what? One question to get off, but stay on topic here. What exactly does paleo mean for those of people out there that don't know? Why are you calling it paleo?
I mean, I guess the term is probably, I think it was coined by Professor Lauren Cordain. And he, through like anthropology records and stuff, he determined the diet of the caveman. And, I mean, it's sort of a modern interpretation of the caveman diet.
Basically a diet that was eaten by people living in the Paleolithic
era. Right, it's eliminating foods they did not eat or did not eat much of. Ancient caveman didn't come across a field full of wheat and decide to grind it down to make bread out of it. Although there's some studies that ancient cavemen did pound some root vegetables and make a sort of bread out of the pounded root. You know, something not quite like a tuber of some sort, not like a carrot, but you know, a thicker, more woody sort of stock tuber.
Okay.
That they grew in caveman time. I don't think we have anymore.
But to get back on topic, that's basically where paleo comes from.
So right, trying to emulate the basic foods that ancient man would have ate, which would have been meat, veggies, nuts, seeds, some fruit, and not a lot of, no processed food. So it's trying to take the modern body with a lot of the modern foods and make them as healthy as possible and to be as healthy as possible.
Makes sense.
Which, I mean, that's sort of what took me down the road. Like, I was thinking, you know, obviously modern food is not producing healthy, fit individuals.
But wouldn't a pessimist or naysayer argue that people back then lived to the ripe old age of 35? And people these days can live to be 100?
On lots of medications and not healthy and not happy and hooked up to lung machines. And there's a lot of people surviving and passing on genetic material that probably should not be passing on genetic material. The caveman times were a lot rougher, but there's also a lot of evidence that not all of them did live to 40. Some of them did live much longer.
Okay.
Which that's sort of like a modern myth that people died off. Like that now we live so much longer than our ancestors, where like if you take a slice of the American history 200 years ago for the American Revolutionary War, most famous people that you know lived to be about 60, 70.
Right.
So I think the actual life span expectancy has only gone up by like 0.5. It's like the average age back then was like 70, and now it's like 70.5 or something, or 75.5. Like, it's not actually gone up a whole lot.
Fascinating.
So, but
getting back onto paleo.
So yeah, you I mean, you could even sort of mess around. Once every couple months, I'll eat some tortilla chips, and I don't notice a huge issue. And you know, I incorporate a cheat day.
Right.
So that I don't, I mean, I know that those foods are bad, but I know that if I don't, I know myself, and I've got to have a cheat day, or I'll derail myself at some point and go
eat tacos. Yeah, that cheat day is basically, that's kind of your bonus card. That's your out. That way you know, if you have that one day, you're not going to screw your diet up.
Yeah.
Because if you're just going to stay on the diet 24/7, people are going to cheat.
I mean, it's, and I kind of stumbled across this while reading Tim Ferriss's book, The 4-Hour Body. Human willpower is pretty pathetic. You're eventually going to cheat no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather it be a controlled, planned, prepared for event than a, you know what, I really want this taco, so I'm going to go stop and eat a taco today. And then, you know, 2 months later, you're still eating tacos, and you've gained 50 pounds, and you're sweaty, and you feel horrible, and you can't run, and I'd rather plan it, have one day knock it out, and I haven't noticed any setbacks from having a cheat day.
Now, you said there's three main things that you want to cut out. You want to cut out grains, you want to cut out dairy, and you want to cut out legumes. Let's take these one at a time. Now, what is the bad thing about legumes?
Legumes have there's a lot of anti-nutrients in legumes, which, you know, pretty much, if you look at science, there's anti to everything, but I never thought that nutrients would have the antithesis. Because beans don't actually want to be eaten by people. You know, like, fruit seeds, they entice you with their good flavor to be eaten, so you'll then defecate their seeds, and it'll start a new plant, you know, fruit tree.
Yeah, it's basically for procreation.
Yeah, but for like wheat and legumes, they do not want to be digested. They do not like live happy in the stomach acid, and the anti-nutrients, and there's a plethora of things that just go bad. anti-nutrients in the beans. They don't digest well. Most people, I myself, do not digest beans well at all. I'm missing the enzymes. And I've heard that if you keep eating beans enough, that you'll eventually develop the enzymes. Well, no one wants to be around me while I'm developing those enzymes.
No. No, we don't.
Yeah, beans are probably the worst thing. They ferment in your stomach. They have to be ultra-prepared to be able to be eaten in the first place.
Yeah, you never see anybody eat a raw bean.
Exactly. Which is sort of like one of the clues for me that if you can't walk out there, pick it up and eat it, probably shouldn't be eating it.
Okay.
I mean, and for the people humans do have the stomach enzymes to eat raw meat. I mean, I've eaten plenty of tuna fish and other fish.
Anybody's ever eaten sushi?
Yeah, raw red meat is not even all that bad. If our modern food source wasn't so terrible, eating raw meat wouldn't be an issue. But it's packaged and handled and slaughtered terribly,
right,
which is really what makes it the issue. If you went out to your neighbor's yard and, like, killed the goat across the street and then started eating the raw flesh, you'd probably be okay. Just don't do that with an armadillo.
No, armadillos carry leprosy.
Yes. So, I mean, and I've kind of dug down and learned a lot of the science on the stuff, but really, I don't think you need to. Yeah, I mean, give it 30 days, see how you feel. And for me, it was a pretty drastic, like, I stopped feeling so bloated and, like, you don't realize how sick you are while you're still sick.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean,
it's kind of like detoxing those first 30 days.
It is.
It's like getting yourself off of, like, the booze or the drugs or whatever. It's forcing the illness out of your body. Now, do you have any good recommendations for people that would want to get into paleo, like literature to read, sites to go to, anything like that?
My favorite book so far, and I'll cover a few resources, and I'll put links in the show notes. Rob Wolf's book, The Paleo Solution, was what really did it for me. Because before that, I just kind of Googled it, and I was like, oh, caveman's meat, fruit, and veg. So I was eating, like, 7 bananas a day and, like, packing down, like, packets of, like, seeds, and I just felt terrible.
I can imagine.
So his book, it was funny, had a lot of humor in it, it had some science parts. If you really want to geek out and get into that, you can. But it's prefaced with a warning that, hey, I'm a biochemist graduate student. I'm about to get real nerdy. Skip this if you're not interested. And I want to say I skimmed through it, so I didn't read it all. But, you know, read his book. Who else? I've also read Mark Sisson's The Paleo Blueprint. Pretty good book. Not quite as humorous as Rob's book. Rob's book probably needs to be updated because it's several years old at this point. He makes recommendations for things such as, like, lean meat, which I think is kind of easier to pitch to, like, people coming off of the standard American diet than what I tell you to eat, like, the fattiest cut of steak that you can get.
Right.
Just because people have been told for so long that, you know, oh, heaven forbid you eat fat, which... it's sort of ingrained in mentality.
And we can't express this enough. Fat does not make you fat.
No. So, Mark Sisson, Rob Wolf, sort of in the paleo vein, Art Devaney has a book. The Paleo Code, maybe, or The Primal Code. It'll be in the show notes. You can check it out. That was good. Art Devaney is kind of an amazing man. Like, I'll show pictures of you. He's like... I want to say 70-something.
Mm-hmm.
And looks like he could tear a gorilla apart.
Really?
I mean, he actually, between, like, paleo and a couple vitamin supplements he takes, not even many, like, 4 or something, he looks like he were, like, his gray hair started changing back. He stopped going bald. He's got huge, like, he's 6'4", muscular.
Are you saying he's possibly reversing the aging process?
To an extent. I mean, eventually, you know, genetic code, the is going to fray and he's going to fall apart.
Right, waste accumulates in the best of bodies.
Right, I mean, the what is it, telomeres in the genetic code that unravel as you age. I mean, eventually they're going to unravel on him, too.
Mm-hmm.
But he's more healthy than, like, 99% of 70-year-olds I've ever seen.
Right. I mean, they say that the human body appears to be designed to live to be about 190 years old, but most of us just die from slow poisoning way right. earlier than
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, I mean, he's spot on is what he's doing. They all have blogs and free resources to check out. Cookbooks, if you want to transition. Like, I just kind of make up things as I go, but every once in a while I'll use an actual paleo recipe. Mm-hmm. Oh, God, I just used one of the recipes earlier. I made that mitza that was delicious. Paleo Southern Comfort Food by the, Mayfords? Still be in the show notes. I bought their book, and I drove like an hour to the bookstore to get it, because they had a recipe on... what was it? Paleo sawmill biscuits and gravy. And growing up in the South, biscuits and white gravy.
You got my attention with biscuits and gravy. I'm sorry.
How do you make
biscuits without wheat?
It's a mixture of coconut and almond flour to make the biscuits.
And you lost me.
Well, it doesn't taste like coconut or almond flour.
I know. I just hate anything coconut.
But it doesn't. And there's no texture in it. It's a fine powdered.
I don't like coconut flavor.
I mean, it doesn't taste like coconut.
You say so.
That's just the name.
I'll make them and then.
Yeah, you do that.
Yeah.
Don't tell me that that's what they are, though, but I'll figure it out.
Yeah, whatever. So, yeah, I made those and promptly devoured them. And then they've got some other recipes that I've used that are good.
I have to try that out and find those and books that he mentioned.
Right, so they'll be in the show notes. If you have any questions about paleo, I've had a few listeners, fans, and friends message me on Facebook, which if you ever want to do that, you can message me on the Survival Punk Facebook page or email me at james@survivalpunk.com. I'll be happy to answer all your questions.
All right, now it's time for our next sponsor ad of the day from our good friends over at Survival Gear Bags. Survival Gear Bags.
Kelly John Doe over at Survival Gear Bags. It's a family-owned and operated business to get all your survival gear bags and gear to fill those bags with. Oh, everything from the Olight S10 Baton flashlight to he's got the EOTech sights there, and I'm going to pick up one for my rifle soon. So good stuff. Check him out at survivalgearbags.com. Click on the link on the right-hand margin on survivalpunk.com.
Yeah, go to survivalpunk.com, click on the link there. That way they know where you came from. All right, now it's time for Nutrition Corners. We haven't been talking about nutrition enough this evening.
Yeah.
But tonight we're going to be talking about some edible wild plants and Brussels sprouts, of all weird things.
Right. So this is a little feature I plan on throwing in a couple episodes. I've got some field manuals here for wild edible plants. I don't know how it'll translate over the air, but you can look it up. So the general idea is I'm going to flip to a random page, and that'll be the wild edible of the day, which is cranberries. That's... I'm going to flip to something...
I'm going to flip somewhere else. Here, let me flip to one in this one. Foxtail grass. Description. This weedy grass is readily recognizable by narrow, cylindrical head containing long hairs. Its grains are small, less than 6 millimeters long. The dense heads of grain often droop when ripe. Their habitat and distribution, look for foxtail grasses in open, sunny areas along roads and at the margins of fields. Some species occur in wet, marshy areas. Species of Cetaria are found throughout the United States, Europe, Western Asia, and tropical Africa. In some parts of the world, foxtail grasses are grown as a food crop. The edible parts? The grains are edible raw, but are very hard and sometimes bitter. Boiling removes some of the bitterness and makes them easier to eat, but they don't sound very paleo.
No. But in a survival situation, eat whatever you can.
Exactly.
So, and as always, make sure you verify, triple verify, and triple verify that what you're eating is what you're looking at, and it is not poisonous.
Yeah, you always want to get you always want to get some kind of a manual or whatever, preferably one with pictures in it, like the one I'm currently holding.
What is that? Who's that by so people can pick that one up?
This is the Illustrated Guide to Edible Wild Plants, Department of the Army.
And I think
this is an official Army manual for edible wild plants.
I'm 100% positive. I think I got that from McKay's used bookstore.
Really? That's I love going.
It's a good resource.
I love going to McKay's. And it looks like it's even got some tips back here about avoiding poisonous plants. Yeah, whole part two is all about poisonous plants and what to do and counteract it and stuff.
We're going to pick one random wild edible every week and talk about it. And next, I've got...
Why'd you throw Brussels sprouts into this? That doesn't sound like a wild edible.
It's another part of Nutrition Corner. Brussels sprouts are a little bit carbier than some of the other veggies I usually eat, which is why I usually don't eat them. But it's one of those vegetables that kind of gets a bad rap from childhood.
I actually like Brussels sprouts.
I don't get it. I've been eating them.
Especially in butter. I like most things in butter. Except coffee. I've never tried that.
My favorite way to cook them recently has been to dice them up.
In case you're wondering, Brussels sprouts, they look like tiny little cabbages.
They do. So I dice them up and then throw them in my bacon fat in my skillet.
That sounds
pepper,
good.
Pepper, a little powdered ginger, garlic. And, Brussels sprouts are darn tasty.
Yeah.
Especially when you cook them in bacon fat, like most everything.
It's just like spinach. I mean, that got a bad rap in childhood, and I love spinach now.
I like that cooked in bacon fat as well.
You like most things cooked in bacon fat.
Yeah.
Especially your bacon.
Yes, and everything else. That's my thing. I don't ever want to waste the bacon fat, so I'll chop up some veggies and toss in there. And then put my eggs on top, too, and then
scramble
water.
You know, speaking of, like, tossed veggies, I mean, you can find plenty of recipes for salad dressing made with bacon fat. I've even seen that on the stuff like the Food Network, various shows on there. I mean, that's just a brilliant idea. I mean, people already had...
Never waste your bacon fat, never.
No, never, ever, ever. All right.
What's next?
Okay, well, it's time for our gadget, our survival gadget of the week. And can this really be considered to be a survival gadget?
I love reusing and repurposing items.
Oh, so do I.
Instead of throwing things away, I like when I find an item that can be reused. Altoids tins. You can reuse them for survival stuff. Let me mute my computer because it's dinging. So today I went to the gas station to get my energy drink and a water to go hiking and working out. And I was looking for the different water things. I was going to get a smart water, but they had the stupid sports pool type bottle. I hate those. I want to unscrew the cap and drink it.
Can't you unscrew the cap and drink those?
Well, it's funkier though. Like they're really? Sometimes they're like Loctited on there.
Oh my god!
And if you don't push the lid down all the way, I've had them like squirt all over the place. I don't like those.
Those are donkulous.
Yeah. So I was looking around and I was getting ready to grab some other random, like, Dasani or something. When I saw a little square water bottle that looks like a flask.
And this actually does look pretty much like a flask.
Yeah.
It's a Fred water.
Yeah, which I've never heard of. And then I was sort of looking at it, and I noticed on the bottom it said reuse and recycle. Yep. It's reusable.
This pocket-friendly bottle is refillable and recyclable.
Right, and it happened to be some of the tastiest water I've got. Like, it didn't have any, like, funky flavors or whatever.
Mostly on the back it says it's natural spring water from Alpine Springs in Rockland, New York, refilled with cold liquid only. See fredwater.com for care.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, it fits in the pocket really well because the square design, front pocket, back pocket, I tested it out.
It is unique for a bottle water bottle design. Like
yeah, I think it poofed out a little bit from being in my car all day, but it's still round water bottles in your pocket are horribly like uncomfortable. It just doesn't work. This thing slides right in there and conceals like flasks usually are intended to be.
Exactly.
So, I mean, I think it's a solid little water bottle to like carry around and because you could, why not carry water on you? I mean,
yeah, exactly. I mean, your body's primarily made up of water. The planet's primarily made up of water.
Right. I mean, you're hiking, I mean...
It is the oil of the human engine, so you might as well have something that you can carry comfortably.
Right. I mean, it's not, what's the...
I mean, and plus, every plastic bottle that you reuse, you refill it and reuse it, that's one more piece of plastic that's not going to end up in a landfill unrecycled.
Right. That's a cool little design. I like it. If you could find the Fred water...
I've never heard of it before. Where did you find it, anyway?
The Murphy gas station beside the Walmart in Action City.
Really?
Yeah.
I have to check that out. So, I mean, I'd get gas there all the time.
Exactly. So, yeah, just grab a Fred water bottle. Huh. Keep it in your bug-out bag.
Why not? All right. Oh, it's that time of the day, isn't it? It's time for Mike's Worst Cases. All right. For those of you unfamiliar with the game, where have you been all these weeks? We basically challenge our survival punk over here, James, to answer best of five, which is 3 out of 5, worst case scenario questions from cards from a 13-year out of date board game.
And I think my record is 2-1.
Yeah, you lost.
Last week. Yeah, you lost.
Oh, you lost the week before too. I had to read you an extra question.
Okay.
But here
out of date info.
Okay, here we go. We got our 5 questions for the week. Are you ready, Survival Punk James?
Always.
Okay. Now, question 1. How to get water in a warm environment? A. Place a green leaf in part sun and part shade. The shaded half will swell with water. B. After perspiring, lick the sweat off your body.
Oh, my.
Or C.
I better drink my own pee.
Or C, place a plastic bag over the leaves of a tree branch.
Yep.
The plant will sweat water.
I was listening for that transpiration. We're going to shoot video this summer of that, actually.
That's your final answer?
Yes.
Okay. Ding, 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 ding. Correct.
I've done that at a workshop with Dave Canterbury and James McCann from Survival Resources.
I keep forgetting you've actually met Dave Canterbury.
Yeah.
If you ever see him again, get him to come on the show.
Yeah.
I would love that. I mean, it's not like he's got another show he's working on right now.
Oh, he's doing some internet project. He has an internet channel that is subscription only.
We're better than that. I mean, this is survival punk. Okay, so right now you've gotten 1 out of 5. Okay, 2. Question 2. How to escape from a sinking car? Do you A, wait until the water is halfway up the driver's door, then open it and get out? B, open your window and climb out as soon as possible. Or C, climb into the back seat, open the back door, and climb out as soon as possible.
Read B again.
Open your window and climb out as soon as possible.
Yeah, B.
You want to go with B?
Yeah.
Survey says, ding, 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 that is correct. Open your window and climb out as soon as possible. So you're 2 for 2 so far.
That's why I keep a window-shattering thing in my car.
Yeah, that's always...
A window shatter and a seatbelt cutter.
Yeah, in case... I mean, just in case you're stuck a little bit longer, yeah. Because that pressure builds up really, really quickly.
To plug the product, it's called a Rescue Me, and you can get it from tacticalresponsegear.com. I bought it in person from James Jaeger.
Okay, I'm going to I was going to read the question on the back of this card, but... I'm skipping ahead.
Okay.
Because I have to read this question. Are you ready?
Yeah.
You could win the whole thing with this. Oops. How to escape from killer bees. Do you A, jump into a body of water if you are near one? B, run away as fast as you can? Or C, stand still?
I think they're too aggressive and they'll kill you if you stand still. Unless this game's being retarded and they've mutated in the 13 years since it was released. I'm going to jump in water, even though I know they'll wait for you, but they won't wait forever, and you're not going to outrun bees. I'm going to jump in the water.
Hey, final answer.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah. Sorry, the correct answer was B. Run away as fast as you can.
Bullshit. You can't run as fast as the bees are going to fly.
No, it doesn't say run as fast as a bee can fly. It says run away as fast as you can.
Yes, and get stung and killed. Have fun while I'm chilling in the water, sipping margaritas.
Okay, so you've got 2 right so far.
Yes.
and one wrong.
Yes.
So I've got, oh, you know what? I'm going to read this one because this might show off your skills. Okay.
Might.
How to build a hobo stove.
Oh, I built one of those and reviewed it on Survival Blog.
Okay. A. Heat 4 large stones in a fire, then place them in a leather hat filled with water.
Move on.
Add food when the water comes to a boil. B. Soak a bandana in water and stretch it over a fire. Continually trickle water on the bandana to keep it wet. Or C. Open one side of a large metal can. Make holes in its sides and invert it over a fire. Use the bottom as a hot plate or grill.
Yeah, see. The other answers are retarded on top of that. It wasn't even tricky. Keep a bandana wet. I thought you were reading the wrong question.
Okay. Correct answer is... A. Open one side of a large metal can, make holes in its sides, and invert it over a fire. Use the hot bottom as a hot plate or grill. You got that right.
Yeah.
I actually read the answers in reverse order because I didn't want to start with the only one that makes sense.
Yeah.
And for the record, you will be penalized next time you don't let me finish reading the question.
I built one. I took a coffee can, number 10 can.
Yeah, I know. I saw it, okay? I always figured that's what it was.
Yeah.
But yes, this week, our Survival Punk James has won this episode's Mike's Worst Cases.
We should do like Dumb and the Zane trivia. I need a theme song when I win. Simply the best! Okay, my song.
I don't have your damn song.
You need a soundboard.
We do. We need a soundboard.
Womp, womp, womp.
We do. We seriously need a soundboard.
Oh, my God. I used to prank call people in college with an Arnold Schwarzenegger soundboard.
I know. I heard those.
Who's your daddy and what does he do?
Yeah, I actually heard that. I heard that you had a Jack Nicholson one, too.
Yes! You can't handle the truth.
Colonel Nathan Jesse.
Oh, Alec, if you're listening to this, yeah, we need to find those audio files.
Oh, definitely. Like an old country.
Oh.
You pissed some people off with that.
That was a good thing about the phones in college. Like, they bring out the college number, not your dorm room number. Which made prank calls great.
Oh, that's just ripe for horribleness. Yeah. All right, and now it's time for our third advertising spot. A little bit differently this time, because this time we're selling it.
Yes.
Yes, if you want to advertise on Survival Punk Podcast, there's only one way to do it. You go and you message James at survivalpunk.com. Let him know you're interested, and we'll actually cut you some deals. We have a sliding scale payment deal going on. What was it? What was the deal you finally came up with?
Oh, not so much a sliding scale, as much as like, if you pay in silver, I'll cut you a deal. Percentage, talk to me, and it'll be significantly less. Well, my advertising prices are published on the blog. If you click advertise, it shows you what I'll charge, which is pretty reasonable. And then,
and you can't just advertise anything here. We're trying to stay with the theme here.
Well, yeah, I'm actually fairly selective. I've turned down many, several people.
many several.
So yeah, if you pay in silver or Bitcoin, I cut you a deal. If you have meat to barter, if you're a hunter, I barter for meat as well.
Just hit us up at james@survivalpunk.com. Alrighty, and boy, we're moving right along into the show. It's time for my celebrity invite of this week.
Who do you got?
Actually, I'm actually gonna revisit one.
Yeah, you're reusing already.
Yeah, I'm reusing. Well, just for this week, I really want Dave Canterbury on the show. You talked about him earlier. And I always thought he got cut a raw deal when he got fired from,
I never heard him go on any podcasts and talk about it. Like, I think he briefly mentioned it on,
He might not be able to. He might not be contractually able to. Or he might just not want to. Anyway,
speaking of which, Cody Lundin recently put out another statement.
Because
apparently Discovery Channel was bad-mouthing him. And he was like, look here. If you keep saying stuff to question my knowledge and know-how, I will tell people what really happened here. I'm being quiet and respectful, but...
Oh, well, yeah, then I
will... You grab the bull by the horns!
I want them both. Cody Lundin and Dave Canterbury, the former hosts of What Just Happened.
I want to say you just zoomed in. Yeah.
Oh, thank God. Okay, well, Cody
Live
Lundin...
podcasting.
Cody Lundin, Dave Canterbury, you both got an open-ended, open-door invite onto this show. Please! Please come on this show. I really would love...
If not, then me and my co-host Mike will have to go on the show naked and alone, and you don't want to see that.
No. You take it too far. I'm not being naked and alone with you. I would rather us go out and try to shoot our own, like, homage to Dual Survival. But you'd have
to play... Keep Mike alive?
You'd have to play the Cody part. I ain't going out in the woods barefoot, I'm sorry.
I was just thinking about hiking barefoot. But anyway, you got any sage advice for us this week?
Well, not yet, because it's not time for that yet. It's time to say that we've done a good job. This has been another great episode.
It has been.
I love doing this show each week with you. I really do. It makes me feel like we're making some kind of a difference.
Yeah, I don't know if I mentioned it. But I've actually had several people message me and say that I've inspired them to go paleo and make changes in their life.
Really?
Which is amazing.
Why have you never mentioned this before?
I boast a lot, but I'm kind of humble about certain things. And it really means a lot to me when someone's like, hey, James, I took the plunge and went paleo to... You know, better my life. And,
you kneel before Zod on your own time. You boast on this show, buddy.
It's really heartwarming.
No, that is great. I, on the other hand, have not had anybody approach me and tell me that I've inspired them to do anything.
We're on the right path. They'll tell you eventually.
Yeah, I mean, has anybody said anything to you about me?
You're the comic relief of the show. People like you. Come on, guys. If you like Mike, send an email or a message and let him know you like him.
Because I don't know unless somebody tells me. I want to be a good boy. I really do. But I need encouragement. I need that pat on the back. Let me know that, you know, I matter. Because I don't want to go sit in the corner and eat worms. I really don't. Please don't make me. But I think it's been a great episode.
Yeah.
And for the Survival Punk Podcast, I'm Mike.
And I'm James.
And just remember something. Even if you don't want to go sit in the corner and eat worms, it's still a very good source of protein.
Yum. Yeah.